This is a May Luna Media production. You're listening to Love, Light, and Black Holes. I'm your host, Morgan Garza, here to remind you of your disco ball soul so you can dance with your darkness. If you're sick of love and light spirituality like I was, you're in the right place. We keep it real, go deep, and give voice to your shadow so your light shines even brighter. Enter the void. Welcome to episode one of Love, Light, and Black Holes, Dancing with Darkness. Woo! So I'm doing it. I had this idea and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm starting a podcast. I'm doing it. I'm putting myself out there. I'm reclaiming my power, my voice, and getting back on the airwaves. If you know, you know. And then I was like, shit, that means I have to actually show up every week and record podcasts. But here we are. I am so happy to be back. I am just bursting with joy and ideas and inspiration and flow. And that's when you know it's real. And that's when you know that this is meant to be. So thank you for being on this journey with me. If you have been here with me before listening to me on the airwaves, you know I'm a previous podcast co-host. And while that was an incredible experience and really put me into the space of using my voice, after that podcast finished and I went my own way, I really didn't use my voice in that same way. I've been teaching live classes and hosting the Way of the Witch Coven on Saged for the past 4 years. But this is such a beautiful way for me to express all of the things that I have in my soul, to call things out that I see in the spiritual industry in ways that we can help ourselves and help each other. And my intention for this journey that we're going to be embarking on together is to really become open and to maintain a heart that is both love and light and black holes, a heart that can hold profound grief and ecstatic joy in the same heartbeat, because we're human and that's why we're here. And we're here to feel everything and go through everything, and to deny one part of ourselves is to deny the whole. So that's what we're going to be getting into today in this episode entitled Dancing with Darkness. There is a general fear about the dark. Kids are afraid of the dark. Women are told not to go out at night in the dark. There are things lurking in the dark. And as a society, we've collectively lit up our cities at night so that we can't even see the stars. We're so immersed in the light that we have totally eradicated the dark, not only from our physical world, but also from our inner, our spiritual. And this is not good. It's not a great thing to not have darkness. We don't cloak our world and hide from the sun. Yes, of course, we may be inside during the day if it's hot, but to shine is to be dark. Because this is the duality. We illuminate the darkness so that we may never know its benefits in this society. So as we're moving through the idea of dancing with darkness, think about how this affects you, not having the dark. There are cultures that would retreat into caves for days on end and immerse themselves completely in the dark. You may have heard of Aubrey Marcus doing this. I watched his documentary about it on Gaia, and while it was pretty difficult to get through, it had more of a Blair Witch Project production value to it. It struck me deeply, and how much modern humans avoid the dark, and how ancient humans had no escape, and they accepted it and worked with it and explored his teachings and mysteries. They would retreat into caves for days on end, immersed in absolute and complete blackness, so that they could have the light return. It is said that if you spend enough time immersed in this darkness, like Aubrey did, then you begin to have a psychedelic experience and see light everywhere, from swirling shapes and colors to literal blinding light. But with our streetlights and our nightlights, we never begin to comprehend the value and the necessity of darkness until you meet it head on. and are ripped from your light like a child being dragged out of a candy store, kicking and screaming. When I started my first company in 2017 in the spiritual industry, if you know, you know, everything was love and light. Everything was pastel. Everyone was a light worker. And there was this boom of toxic positivity, which led, naturally, to spiritual bypassing. And seeing the spiritual industry from the inside out in this way, I realized how much ego was really woven into so much of what Instagram famous leaders put out into the world. It wasn't only dangerous, it was incredibly off-putting. And it created this culture of toxic positivity, of only love and light, of good vibes only. And that is never sustainable. Sending love and light was, and maybe still is, the thoughts and prayers of spirituality. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with love and light. There's nothing wrong with sending love and light and positive energy and that Care Bear stare out to someone, to yourself, to the world. But the problem is the absence and the avoidance of darkness. It is the light without the dark, the running, the hiding, the locking away, the shoving down, the avoidance of a whole half of ourselves. And there's nothing truly negative about the dark unless you perceive it to be so. Yes, of course, there are maybe evil things in this world, but whatever is presenting is just a reflection of what is. Sure, danger can lurk in the dark. Anyone walking at home at night can attest to this and the chills that run up and down your back, or when you're turning the lights off in a room across the house and you scurry over to the other side. I was even mugged walking home alone in the dark when I lived in Spain and never saw it coming because of said darkness. So yes, the dark can carry some aspect of evil, but that's not the dark that I'm talking about. When I lived in Spain in 2014 and 2015, I came back and had totally burned down the career I went to school for and had previously worked in fashion, and will be paying for the rest of time. And I got a job writing with a wonderful company called Change Your Energy. And it was at this company that I started a weekly blog and would continue to explore the concept of love, light, and infinite darkness. And this felt truly revolutionary. No one was talking about this in the spiritual industry. I was signing off most pieces that I wrote on this weekly blog with it. And that eventually evolved into Love, Light, and Black Holes and became my motto, my soul's reminder of the importance of duality, and something that would come to be in my book, in my email signature, spoken at the end of all my live classes, and now a podcast. And it's not just a concept. It's the truth. It's universal law. Duality is inescapable. This isn't something that we can choose. We have all of it, the whole spectrum inside of us in this 3D dense physical world at all times. Grief and joy exist in the same heartbeat. We choose to ignore the negative emotions and go towards the positive, telling everybody we're fine and everything is great when really we're unraveling inside and can barely brush our teeth some days. Or maybe that was just me after my dad died 7 months ago. Just still mind-boggling to say. But that wasn't my first plunge into the darkness. When I really was faced with the dark was the beginning of life. When I was young, I lost many family members, some tragically and immediately and unexpectedly. By the time I was 15, I had known death better than most people that I knew my age. And that just continued. I lost my roommate in college when I lived in Los Angeles. I moved home to Arizona and got a job working in fashion, which I went to school for in LA. And I was elated. I was 20. It was incredible. I was fresh and just ready to take on the world. And this job took me to India. I was 22 at the time. And this was when I really had my first brush with inescapable, all-consuming darkness. And I survived a terrorist attack that happened in Mumbai, India, and killed hundreds of people all over the city. It was a simultaneous attack on multiple sites, all at the same time. And I literally ran for my life with bullets flying through the air, people falling all over, a mob, people being crushed, screaming, soiling themselves, terrified. And there was a moment, one moment that feels like it was eons long, but in reality it was seconds, that I thought I was gonna die, that I was holding the hand of my coworker, my friend, and thinking, this is it. My life didn't flash before my eyes. I didn't have this mental reel of everything flying past me. It was silence. It was quiet. And it was, oh shit. And it was a breath that I held for a decade after that. And I don't tell you this to have clout or to have any kind of, you know, street cred for having survived something like that. Unfortunately, my story is not all that uncommon these days. But what it did to me, what it did for me, was help me realize who the fuck I was. And at 22, you don't really know. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying a lot of different things. You're moving through life, basically sampling the buffet. A little bit of this, a little bit of that, a lot of mishmash on the plate. None of it really goes together, but you're just figuring things out. But what I realized was that I am not someone who fights or flights or freezes or fawns. I snap into clarity, into action, into responsibility. And at 22, with a pretty charmed life leading up to that point, I had no idea that I had this in me. And it was like I clicked something on, something that was laying dormant, something that I honestly didn't need until that point. But I saw myself act rather than react. I was picking people up off the street. I was protecting my boss, who was 2 decades my senior, from being crushed by a mob against the wall when we were running. Pulling people off her, saying she can't breathe. I became who I would eventually mature fully into over the next almost 20 years now. And when that me turned on to myself, to the world, I began realizing that I was meant to experience this and I was meant to survive this. And the survivor's guilt was terrible. The night terrors when I came home were haunting, literally. I didn't know why I had been spared when so many hundreds of others would not return home. But I knew that I now had a responsibility, that because I was spared, it's not like I owed something back to the world, but because I was spared, because I had this grounded, anchoring realization that even at 22, I was meant to do something with this. It changed the entire course of my life. I unraveled my life from the fashion industry And I started really diving in to my inner world. But when I got home, of course, I was a hot ass mess with PTSD, with night terrors, with survivor's guilt, with being 22 and not having the wisdom or the resources or the support to handle this. And I had mandatory FBI talk therapy that did nothing, that I just told them what they wanted to hear so that they would leave me alone. I tried acupuncture, and it wasn't until my mom, bless her soul, signed me up for a Reiki session with her masseuse. And I walked in thinking, you know, this is bullshit. She's not even going to touch me. I don't even know what Reiki is. I don't understand energy. But I was open. I was desperate. And she put her hands on me. She first, of course, explained what was going to happen, talked to me for a long time about my experience, what I was feeling, what I was going through, what my quote-unquote symptoms of PTSD were. And I lay down on her table. She put a blanket over me. And I was like, all right, I'm going to see if I can feel where her hands go. And I would peek my little eye open and peek my other eye open and follow her around the table. And afterwards, I was like, okay, great. Went to bed. Woke up the next morning. And it was like I had turned a page. It was like I was in a whole new chapter. I was myself again. I came out of this heavy, all-consuming depression that I couldn't even identify while I was really in it. And I was bright and glittering and glowing again. And that's when I was like, what the fuck was that? What is Reiki? What is energy? What is spirituality? What is darkness? Why did I experience this? And on and on and on. It was like a Pandora's box of questions just unfurled and came tumbling into my life, demanding attention. And while, again, I was young, I also was drinking a lot and escaping the reality, escaping this pain that I could never escape. Except when I was drinking or doing Molly at a concert and avoiding everything. And I did this simultaneously alongside my spiritual journey, my spiritual awakening. That was when I really started to awaken to what was around, that there was more in this life. And as I started wanting more out of life, I started working as long as I needed to save money to travel. And then I would book a one-way ticket somewhere. And that was another form of running and avoiding and escaping. But I was also reestablishing my connection with the world, that just because this happened while I was traveling previously, it wasn't going to stop me from traveling. And that kind of became a vendetta. That became something that I wanted to, I don't know, prove to myself, prove to the world, prove to the universe that I just kept traveling. And I spent the next decade of my 20s doing that, which culminated with me moving to Spain at 27. And this was really when I started to shift. When I moved back from Spain, I met my now husband a couple years later, And 1 year after that, in 2018, was the 10-year anniversary of the Mumbai attacks. And I had a full-on hyperventilation, mental crack, breakdown, unraveling. I hadn't addressed the attack in 10 years. It had been a full decade since I'd really looked at it. I would get drunk and cry about it. That was something I did pretty often. But not sober and not consciously and not with support. And I hadn't written about it. I'd barely written in my journal about it. And I'm a writer. I mean, I have a box of journals since I was 8. I am a prolific journaler. I have a book. I write all the time. And it was something that I avoided because I just couldn't. So at the 10-year anniversary, I sat down and just poured my heart into this Google Doc and let it all flow and didn't care what came out or how it read or what it was flowing into or what kind of structure there was to this. It was just my heart pouring. And when I did that, I realized that I was avoiding so much darkness that it was affecting my light. It was affecting the way that I showed up in the world. It was affecting how I made money. It was affecting my relationships. It was creating a substance abuse and dependency. And it was keeping me away from my power. So by writing that, by looking at my darkness, by really going into the thing that I was terrified to actually acknowledge, I started to become brighter. And I started to talk about it more, first with friends and family, and then on podcast interviews, and then publicly. And it has become something that I want to talk about more because it helps me carry it. It helps me become bigger around it so that it doesn't consume me, which is what I've heard so much about grief. And while this is a form of grief, what I experienced in India has nothing compared to the grief that I'm feeling with the loss of my dad, who died in December 2024. And that grief, now that I know how to grow in order to become larger than the grief, while it's totally different, I at least have this foundation. And so this dance with darkness that I've done, this ballet, while sometimes flailing, has created a process. It has created a connection, and has it created a way for me to first acknowledge the shadow and then to understand it. Where did it come from? What is the root? And then to accept it. Like, okay, you're here and I love you and you're part of me and you're not going away and I don't want to eradicate you. I want to love you. I want to set a place at my table for you so that we may dine and commune and share and laugh and so that you can be heard. Because that is all the shadow wants and craves and desires, is to be acknowledged. When we shove the shadow in a dark closet or lock it away in a chest or avoid its screaming, crying banters, it will not go away. It is going to get louder and stronger and more furious and more fucking pissed until it breaks through all of the barriers that we have set up to contain it. Until it becomes something absolutely unavoidable that is likely ruining your entire life and creating so many more problems than it would have initially because it's been hidden and locked away for so long. And so this dance was fumbling at first and awkward and uncomfortable. And sometimes it still is. I mean, just because I have this foundation doesn't mean that when my dad died, I kept my shit together. Quite the opposite. I could barely brush my teeth most days. And my husband, being the wonderful person that he is, would say, just do one thing today. Just one. Just pick one thing to do for yourself. And it is still so shocking to my soul. I'm starting to cry a little bit. To say that my dad is dead, my soul's guide on this planet, the person who could just see me and get me and understand, and we could wax poetic about all of the most incredible things that the human experience contains together. He's gone. But I had a realization in therapy that he wouldn't have left if I wasn't ready. And that I am his legacy. He has imprinted with me and encoded in me and taught me and guided me and been the example of who I want to be and of so much in this world. And now I am holding this grief, and I will for the rest of my life, every day that I'm here and he's not. But what it has given me is purpose. And out of this grief has birthed so much. This podcast that you're listening to, a media company, two other books that I'm working on concurrently. Who has the time for all of this, y'all? But when he died, I realized what mattered. It was like a snap came into my world and shattered everything. and brought me face to face with what I actually cared about. And that is so much more than I could possibly comprehend and articulate right now, but it is that I don't die with him, that I don't stop. Because while he was sick for that year and a half, I couldn't do much. And there were times that I would be sitting in therapy saying, I want to create, I want to produce, I want to put things out there, I want to be tapped into what I know I'm capable of, but I just can't. Come to find out, my adrenals were blown, my gut is totally fucked. This stress of the most insane deluge of things that happened one after another from 2022 to 2024, which my astrology also reflects, has put me into a state, y'all. And I was sitting in therapy saying, I want to do more. I just can't. I know that I want more for myself, but I just can't. It was that impossible feeling in my bones that I was heavy. I was tired. I was spent. And now that my dad's dead, which is terrible and always will be, there is a levity. There is a lightness. And I don't want to call it relief because I didn't want him to die and he didn't have to die. Although cancer had a different idea about that. But there is a levity because I now am charged with this one life. And I believe in reincarnation, yes, of course, but in this body, in this environment, this one life, this one opportunity, what am I going to do with it? Because nothing is guaranteed. And watching him die reminded me to live because he lived. He loved everything and everyone and wanted to learn as much as possible. And if you ever ate his cooking, if Papa G graced your plate, you know that you will taste that for the rest of time. And he was just this big man that loved life. And so I am now moving forward with that because I need to dance with darkness again. Because if I don't, if I sit this one out, I am terrified of what will happen. I don't want to lose more time. I don't want to be left behind. And I don't want to not create the 1,000,000,000 things that I have going. I went from doing nothing to doing the most and doing everything and doing it with blown adrenals. Like, what is this? But I am fueled by this darkness that I have touched, that I have been able to hold, to approach, to walk in. When my dad died, I was fearless. I was like, let's fucking go. I don't give a shit about anything. Nothing matters. Of course, like, obviously a lot of things really do matter a lot. But, you know, the little things, the things we get caught up on, the things that we spend so much time worrying about, all of that went away. And I tapped into this ferocious fearlessness. And I didn't care about anything. And I just went for it and I ran. And as much as I was hurting, I was crying and sprinting and laughing and dancing away from all of this pain and towards what I had always known was there. And that is this brilliant, blinding, effervescent light that we all carry. But I didn't see it as brightly when I was unable to look at my darkness, when I was unable to see myself fully, and when I, quite frankly, avoided an entire half of my being. My body, my physical body, suffered because I did not look at myself, because I abandoned myself in the darkness and threw away the key and was like, fuck it, fuck this, see ya, figure it out. And that's not nice. We shouldn't do that to ourselves. I don't recommend that. And to be honest, I'm sure that's not going to be the last time I do that. just being real. Because I am not standing here on my mountaintop saying, this way, y'all, I've got it all figured out. Come and follow me. I'm in the fucking trenches with you. I've got my armor on. My face is painted. I am barefoot and I am trudging through this muck with my staff saying, let's ride. And I hope that you are inspired to look at your darkness. Because everything that is there, you put there. The trickiest thing about shadow work, about looking at the dark, about duality. We love to live in the light. We love to have this, you know, ideal perspective on our lives. We post our highlight reels on social media. We tell everyone we're good when really we're dying inside. But it's when we accept both, and it's when we put both out there that we can fully shine. And whatever is in your darkness is probably not as scary as it has become over the years of neglect and abandonment and avoidance. And this whole podcast isn't going to be about shadow work and darkness and pain and trauma. Ugh. But this first episode is, because this is the foundation for the human experience. Because this is where it all starts, and this is where it all ends, and this is what it always, always comes back to. The lessons are not learned in the light. The lessons are learned in the darkness, in the troubling times, in the times that you're on your knees begging the universe or God or whatever for help, for direction, for an answer. That is when you meet your maker. And your maker is you. Don't get it twisted. And that is when you realize that what you're seeking is yourself. That what you want is to be held and nurtured and seen by yourself. There is no amount of external validation that is going to give you the same love and care as giving it to you. That's why it's so cliche to say that, you know, the saying, if you can't love someone else unless you love yourself first. The oxygen mask principle, right? But it's true. And when you realize this, when you've been through enough life, when you have enough relationships and you keep seeking that outside of you and you keep looking to others to love you the way that you really need to be loved, whether you know it or not, that is when you're going to run into so many problems. You're going to be continuously disappointed. You're going to keep attracting the same toxic partner who treats you the same shitty way because you're looking to them to treat you the way that you need to treat you. And this is exactly what shadow work is. This is exactly what love, light, and black holes is. It's giving yourself what you think that others should give you. You're going to should all over yourself. And that's not cute. So let's not do that. Coming into this place where darkness isn't avoided, it's not something you only do in the fall or on a full moon. It's a living, breathing practice. It's calling yourself out in real time, on the daily, so that things don't pile up, so that you don't have this laundry list of backlogged bullshit that you're not looking at. The light is going to be so much more brilliant, so much brighter, blinding even, which is great. When you look at your darkness and when you love all of your darkness, and maybe you need to see it. I didn't really have a huge shift with my shadow, with my darkness, until I did psilocybin-assisted therapy when I lived in Denver. And I did 3 sessions, 2 weeks apart, and I gave my shadow an archetype in one of these sessions. When I first found her, she was sitting legs to chest, on the floor in this tight, tiny little ball under this giant, thick ocean of sludge. And I found her, and she was curled up and tight and terrified. And as I worked her out of that and gave her love and acceptance and understanding, she became free because she was acknowledged. And in this visualization that I was having, I saw her fully embodied. She needs to be dark. She needs to be wild. She is wild. Your darkness is wild. And when I saw my darkness, she was a forest dweller. She had these shoulder pads with spikes on them. She had mud streaked across her face. She had these ankle bracelets with teeth. She was this fierce warrior. She had this staff that had spikes all on the top of it that reminded me of Sonic the Hedgehog for some reason. And she was fucking ferocious. And not in a mean, I'm going to end your world way, in a you are not going to end mine. And that was when things really shifted and I fell in love with her. She was so dope. She was so cool. She was everything that I was pretending not to be. She was not a people pleaser, which is my greatest fault. And she took no shit. And when I saw her in her full glory, shoulders back, head held high, basking in the light, I was like, holy shit, you are such a badass. And you meaning me, talking to myself here. But this entire half of me that I only wanted to be this light, ethereal being with hair flowing and dress blowing in the wind, walking on sand covered in gold and brilliant, beautiful light, like, yes, and this bitch over here who is dark and fearless and will fuck you up. So this is what I realized that I am. And once I gave her this beautiful archetype to live within, she took up space in my life because I allowed it. And this darkness, this dance, this oscillation that we go through, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm in touch with my darkness every single moment of every single day. There's times when my thoughts get the best of me, times when my brain takes over and my soul is harder to hear. But that's because I'm human, and so I give myself some grace, and I'm not expecting myself to live in this space all of the time. And you can't either. It's not realistic. But what we can do is learn to dance. And it's going to be awkward at first. And you're going to stumble. And you're going to step on your own feet. But as you do, you're going to realize that you become more proficient. You become someone who looks forward to the dance, who wouldn't miss it. Because when you do, you realize that your light dims. You don't shine as brightly. You don't just as easily take up so much space. And you don't give yourself the same love that you require to be all of you, to be a human in this dense 3D, very difficult to reincarnate into world. But it's a privilege to be here. It is an honor to be able to get to live this life, to taste ice cream, to feel the sun, to hug, to feel love. When we leave these bodies and we go into the great beyond, none of that is there. We're purely light, energy. So to be here, to pick a flower, to get into a fight, it's a privilege. And I've realized that more and more over the years, but especially over the past 7 months since I lost my dad, that everything, every moment, every experience, however difficult and trying, is a privilege. So I hope that this inspires you to dance with your darkness and to look at yourself in a way that maybe you haven't in a while, or maybe you never have. And if you need support in this, I am here. My course, Unbothered as Fuck, is on Sage. I also have a shadow work workbook. You can always reach out to me. But shadow work is the path. It's the key that you've been looking for to unlock the door that you've been wondering what lives behind. And everything behind that door is everything you've ever wanted to be and do and have and become. But you're holding yourself back and you're in your way. And that tough love is coming from a Taurus, but it's also coming because I had to give it to myself. And when I realized that I was the one holding myself back, that it was me to blame, not anyone else, not my grief, not India, not anyone who came before, it was me, I was able to truly start moving forward. Because there was a while that I felt stuck, that I felt, who am I to do this? That I thought, what even am I doing? And that whirlpool finally stopped and released me. And I was able to start putting the pieces back together. And when that whirlpool stopped swirling, I realized that I was in knee-deep water, y'all. Knee-deep water, thinking I was drowning. It can happen to all of us. And if it's happening to you right now, I feel you. I get it. I'm probably going to be there again, you know? Just because I've figured this one thing out for right now doesn't mean that I have everything figured out for the rest of time. Because life is going to go on and shadows are going to keep coming. And that's just the process. And you go through it all again and you go through it all again. But the reason that we came here is to remember, we are infinite beings with infinite love and unconditional everything. But we come here to this dense planet in these physical, squishy, mushy forms that are so sensitive to remember why. To remember why we are the way we are. This life isn't about how. It's about coming into contact with everything this world remembers so that when we do eventually leave this earth again, we have more within us, more to take into the great beyond, more to reincarnate with in the next life, and more to become now. Bring yourself into this beautiful place of duality. Learn the dance of your own darkness. Give them an archetype and remind yourself every day that your light will only shine when you accept your dark fully. I'll see you next week. I guess I won't see you, but you'll hear me. Thank you for joining me in the first step of this beautiful journey. I don't know where this is going, but we're going to do it together and it's going to be fun and it's going to push me beyond anything that I ever imagined. And I am so grateful to be doing it with you. So thank you for being here. Love, light, and black holes. Thanks for diving into the void with me. If today lit something up in you or cracked something open, follow the show and leave a review so we can pull more magic into this orbit. Want more? Step through the portal at morgangarza.com/connect. That's where the wild magic lives. Until next time, dance with your darkness like it's your favorite song and watch the whole universe light up.